All right, I'm just going to pray. Okay, so Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, your daughters, God, that you helped us have this opportunity to come together, to seek you, Lord, to hear your voice for where we are today. God, it's been such a crazy year. So, Lord, we're finding our balance again, Lord. And the buzzwords out in the world are self-care. But God, you have your plan for us, a good plan, a good way for our self-care, to be spiritually strong, to be mentally clear, and to be physically balanced, God. So we just thank you for this, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. In Jesus' name, we all say,
Amen.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know about you guys, but when I heard this topic and that it was given to me, I went, oh. I kind of laughed and I was like, you've got to be kidding, right? Now, the funny thing is, for people that have known me, I've been here at Jubilee for 20 plus years now. For some reason, and I do not know why, people think I'm organized. People think that I just got it all together.
You can't tell me you don't. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but this spiritual routines, or the word routines, okay, that is probably as far away from me as possible. Now, I did take my spiritual profile. All right, so I'm an SC, so there should be some of that in me, right? Well, I have to tell you that that part of the C, I think I want pregnant mamas to sit down.
Can we find? Are you going to? I'm choosing to stand. I offered.
They all offered.
It's
much
easier.
You're going to be. Okay, got it. All right. Lost my track.
Huh? They did. They all offered.
Well.
No. Should we just make
it? It's
you?
Okay. I know. I was going to say, because I think Hannah's probably going to go, and both of them are going to be in and out, I'm guessing, right? But if you're here for longer than 10 minutes, we're getting you a chair.
Okay.
Okay, so what I was saying was, the part that's a C, the part that should be organized, is the place where the enemy torments me, all right? That it's not good enough, it's not structured enough. Why can't I just get my act together and follow a clock? You know, if anybody's taken any kind of time management course, you know, they tell you to give an hour for this or a lot time for that, and it just makes so much sense to my brain. But when my days take off, they take off. And I could start with my plan, but then I'll get a phone call. Or I'll start with my plan and something unexpected will happen. So the idea of a spiritual routine, for me, initially strikes panic. But when I started saying, okay, God knows exactly where I'm at, we're going to talk to you about it. Right? God's going to talk to me about it, and I'm going to let you know what he shared with me. The first thing he said was, well, when do you use the word routine? Okay, for those of you that don't know me, all right, my career is a professional ballroom dancer. So I use the word routine all the time. All right, show me your routine. As a coach, I want to watch their routine, what they're going to do all the time. But not to see what they're going to do all the time, but to make what they do all the time better.
That's good.
Right? And that's what we would do. Right? We had our routines. I specialized in the international Latin, so I had to have 5 different routines. Each one had its own character. Each one had its own timing, flavor. I mean, everything about each dance was completely different. So my routines had to be completely different. Now, they had similar movements, like there would be a turn in all the dances, but they would look different. Right? A turn is a turn is a turn. No, they have to look different, right? So the idea of the routine all of a sudden showed me growth, all right? There's growth there. The things in my routine that every time I would try and do that, I would be off balance. it would bring balance to me, right? The thing that I had to do with my partner, completely in sync, in unity. Ah, there's unity with my brothers and sisters, right? So all of a sudden, the idea of routine started to make some sense to me. Well, through our wonderful 2020, the idea of a routine totally went out the door. And in my mind, I was like, oh, wow, look at all the time I have with the Lord and all this. And I just thought I was really going to go for it. I don't know about that plan. I mean, it totally went out the window. Instead, the accuser in my ear, in ways I never would have expected. And as I'm talking to other people, they're telling me the same thing. Why did I feel like I took like I'm was under attack? I didn't feel healthy. I felt physically sick, even if I wasn't sick, right? Or I just didn't feel like I was thinking clearly. I mean, all these things. And then if you were sick, then you ended up having some fogginess and things that other people said were side effects of coming out of COVID. So there was this season that even though nothing was working, I was still pushing, though. I was like, God, what is this all about? I mean, I had to come up, you know, come to some grips. Before I could get an answer, it was like this. Personally, it was like all the way down. Pretend she's not here. Okay. It went down, and I discovered that I actually did have I guess I'm going to say the word out loud. I didn't want to say it out loud. Okay, this is depression. Okay, I get it now. All right. Now, even though things were going down, I recognized some things that somehow had become routine. What do you do? All right. I'm going to ask you, what do you do when you start feeling things are spiraling out of control? All right. What is the spiritual thing you do? What's your go-to? Prayer? Okay. What else?
Talk to somebody.
Worship and talk to and reach out to someone. Okay, so we know already because of our past the things that we go to. All right, that's your routine. All right, right there is where your routine is. If you go to something just because that's your knee-jerk reaction, you've learned it, right? Instead of giving up and not having an answer. Okay, so yay! Everybody say yay, I got a routine. Okay, because if you have one thing that you go to, you've created a routine. Okay, now, how successful was it? Okay, so that's what pushed me further when I realized my routine. When I went, my go-to with God wasn't creating the change, all right? Or if I may have had momentary, and it lasted me the 24 hours, woohoo! But sure enough, man, after that 24 hours, I felt like I was crashing again. All right, I just realized I'm so off my notes, but I feel like it's okay. So that is when I started to really pursue God and saying, okay, God, I need to find my balance here because this up and down is crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, now, what were some of the up and downs? The up and downs were all good things. Okay, I want you to know the things that got me up were all good things. All right, like I love my Bible app. All right, everybody loves their Bible. I don't know, but I love it because I can look at different translations just like that, right? I can look up things if I can't remember where it is. That's why I was telling you all to be ready, because I forget really quickly where things are. So, I mean, that was a lifesaver. And then they even have a daily... anybody found the little daily button up on top? Oh, my goodness, 10 minutes. Literally, I've timed it. In 10 minutes, you can have the verse. You can have somebody encourage you on the verse. You have a question to think about it, and then there's a little devotional to read, and then a prayer at the end to seal the deal. really awesome, right? A good thing. So that saved me lots of times. A book. All right? Somebody says, read this book. All right? That's a great way to do it. But what happens at the end of the book? All right?
It ends.
The book ends, and you're like, okay, God, now what? Right? Or last week, but then you're back to the now what? Okay, so what else? Okay, for me, those were my biggies, right? The devotional, I read a book. What else would there be? I'm trying to think. Oh, what you said. Eventually, you know, you're talking to somebody, right? And
they give you all their advice.
They'll give you advice. Hopefully, they'll say, well, God, you shared this with me, and it's helped me, right? Because in the end, that's all we can do is share what God's done for us, right? Okay, so all of this got me to the point of, okay, if I have a routine, if I know what I'm going through, what's wrong? How can I make it better? Not better, effective. Okay? Now, I was reading one of my books, all right, and the author was saying that she toured around. And as she toured, she decided to take a survey and ask the women that she was meeting with the same question. If you had somebody pray for you, what would you want them to pray for you about? All right, now, there was one answer that she said was unanimous, no matter what part of the country she was at, no matter what. It was majority, more than majority. She said it was almost out of every single person's mouth. And that answer was that they wanted to grow spiritually and have a deep, strong, vital, life-changing, faith-filled walk with God. That in the end, we just want that intimacy with God. We want to be able to hear His voice. We want to be able to obey His voice, right? We want to fulfill our purpose on this earth. We want our life to look like the kingdom of God is love, joy, peace, love, and joy. I always get them backwards in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God, right? That's what we want. We want that relationship. So as I was digging into this, right, it took me to a place where I realized for years, I've known what to do. So personally, I've known about devotionals. I've known about the study. I know, you know, people said, Marilyn, pick a word and study it in the Bible. That's awesome. You know, pick a word. Well, what word? Well, usually it's the word you're struggling with. Right? So anger, loneliness, frustration, right? You find the word and you study it in the Bible. And that also can kind of get you there, all right? So there's study, there's all these things. And one year, quite a few years ago, I found a class that was taught here in our college, in our Jubilee Globe, what is it called?
Now it's Legacy,
our college, right? And I could, because of my work schedule, I could literally only take a class if it was offered on Mondays. And on Mondays was Joe Miller's Disciplines of Life. Ooh. Holy guacamole. I'm telling you, that class for that entire season had affected what I understood about a routine. All right, and what I realized is from learning those disciplines, they actually had snuck their way into my routine. But how I came to those disciplines was not consistent. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. All right, so the disciplines of life that we have learned in the past or over the years, all right, there's lots of them and there's lots of books that can get really thick. But I'm just going to pick a few of them. I realized I was going to show you a picture and I'm not going to. Some of the disciplines are prayer, right, which we all mentioned was a go-to. Meditation. Now, I don't know about you all, but when he was teaching about meditation, I was like, huh? All I heard about is don't do it, right? You know, don't take a yoga class, right? And meditation, that those were all Eastern, and just stay away from it. But as I learned in that class, I was like, oh, meditation. I guess I'm going to have to figure that one out, because that wasn't a part of my routine, right? And then fasting. Okay, that's a lulu for a lot of people, right? And I realized that how I approached it needed some further understanding once I had taken that class. And then another one is serving. Okay, now I'm picking these on purpose, all right? I'm pulling these out. And then the last one is praise and worship. Not in any particular order, I just wrote them down. Actually, not even in that order, I set them backwards. See how not see I can be? Okay, so praise and worship, prayer, meditation, fasting, and serving. Okay, so with the social climate that really got a big slap in the face in 2020, who I was as a Christian was also getting questioned from the outside world. So the next thing I knew, I was like, okay, God, you know what? You know how the one thing I've always said is I just want a real relationship with you. I came out of being Catholic, 12 years Catholic school. I left because I didn't want religion. I didn't want to be religious. I just want you. Right? So, and the Lord pretty much kept me out of in non-denominational experiences. One time we were in a church that was Foursquare, which is pretty, even though it's a denomination, it was very free. And great teaching with this particular pastor. But the goal, the heart, my heart's desire, I want a real relationship with you. And that was the part that was missing when I would come to a discipline. It was like, okay, I'm going to get my act together. All right, prayer time. All right. First of all, it always started off with my complaining and all the things that were wrong. All right. But then I would be like, well, wait a minute. I know enough about the word. David complained. So it's okay to complain. But then that's when the enemy would come in. Yeah. And I realized I spent, and we heard Pastor Lynn even talking about this, I spent more time rehearsing what was wrong instead of the power of God in it. So I partnered the demonic. All right, now, I need you to hear me say this. When we say we're being attacked, all right, we have a choice with every attack. And if we spend more time paying attention to what that attack is, we partner it and open the door and say, come on in. Okay, so for example, I realized in past experiences with finances, that from poverty mentality, being raised in poverty, you can only think a certain way. All right, so my prayers were, God, get me out of this mess. Come and fix this. God, come and help me. All right? Does God answer those prayers? Yes, he does. But did I do any investigating in the Word about how to do it? How do we get out of this mess? Well, honestly, it wasn't until my husband and I took a course, right? The Dave Ramsey course, and all of a sudden it's lined up in the Word, and you're like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. All of Proverbs tells us how to work, and how tells us how to steward, and tells us how, I mean, it was all right there. But I didn't come with a Lord, show me and teach me. God, I'm humble, man. We screwed up all these years. It took a long time to get to that point. It took around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain, way too many times. And each time, God gave us a miracle. I have so many financial miracles, I can't even tell you. And all of them, at the worst times, God would do something. I can't tell you how, but he did it. Right? In my ignorance, or is it ignorance, or is it, I don't put myself in the right position. So I want you to hear what I'm saying. When it comes to these disciplines, you have to come and make a decision. What's your position? Okay, now think about it. When we're babies, the only position is, So that's okay. God responds. But then when we learn to walk, right, when we learn to talk, as we start learning how to think, right, then all of a sudden, our position should change. If you want that intimacy with the Lord, your position is needs to change. All right, so your position in worship. For example, I'm just going to talk about position for a little bit. If we're praising and worshiping, it's so easy to sing a song, especially a good song that you like the words to, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I even got in the habit of, you know, I'm always going to have my radio on some kind of praise and worship. It just, let me just get into that habit, right? Mm-hmm. All right, that's a routine. That'll be my routine. And before I knew it, it was just noise. And then I'll wait for that one song that'll kind of get me. And I'm like, really? I'm waiting for a song to get me? So what should be our position for praise and worship? Let's just talk about the position, our position. What position are we in? Physically, mentally, emotionally. What would you say your position is when you praise and worship?
Thanksgiving.
Okay, what else?
Humble.
I'm sorry?
Humble.
Very good. Why humble?
just because always learning more things to humble me. to be reminded that God is so big and I am so thankful that he's gracious and patient.
It goes with Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Right. So there, any other position? Anybody can think of? Those are two good ones. Right?
You say surrender.
I'm sorry.
No,
a surrender. Mm-hmm. What are we surrendering when we in praise and worship?
My will, my thoughts, my next action, to be honest with you. Okay.
I said, what are we surrendering? But anything that's going to get in the way of what we're doing, or anything we think, or we go in thinking, right, or anything we're bringing, you know what I mean? That's what I mean, really.
Like we're taking
home. Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the steps.
With me, it's like a focus thing. Because I can pray, I can be in praise and worship, and then I'll be thinking about me, what do I need? And I'm telling you, I can be out there in the sanctuary, and in the midst of it, I have to tell myself, Lisa, it's not about you. So I can start back focusing on, thank you, Lord.
Right, right.
I think surrender is really good. Transparency was what I was thinking of. And something that I learned was I'm also surrendering my sin and my bad things. And that God still accepts that too, because I have at times let myself feel so bad about where my inadequacy or something that has gotten in my way of my relationship that I've had to, pray about and make right and ask for forgiveness for. But he still accepts my worship even if I'm in a place like that too.
What Lisa said and what you said are a really big deal that I feel when I talk with other women, is that those things can totally block, or like you can be in the middle of the most amazing service and just feel this, I can't get out, I can't get past all this. So this is actually where you have to know your position in God to be able to get out of it. And that's where Thanksgiving comes in. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that the verse, sorry, Psalm, this one I did write down, Psalms 100, verse 4, and everybody may know this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Okay, so it's really good to say it, right? But unless we're like, wait a minute, I know what I'm giving thanks for. You know what, I did screw up really bad yesterday, but God, what you did. Mm-hmm. Lord, Thanksgiving alone in the plan of redemption is huge when you take the time to just think about it. Okay? And that's where, yes?
Another position is you seek, look for me. I seek his face and not his hands. Tell him how awesome yes. he is, how wonderful, and stuff like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But do you see how all of a sudden your position changes mm-hmm. from help, 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 mm-hmm. or oh my gosh, mm-hmm. right? It changes to I know who you are. Right? That immediately brings the real to the discipline of praise and worship. That right there, that is the key. The problem is, what's going on here? All right, now, I mean, for those of us that were raised with, I can't remember her name, Battlefield of the Mind lady.
Yes.
Joyce, right? Oh my gosh, that is so true, right? The thoughts that can hit you, right, in the middle of worship. You could be just ready to go on your face, and the craziest thought comes in your head, and you're, now.
What am I
going to
eat for lunch?
Right? Exactly. It's so true. Especially in the old Jubilee services, 3 to 4 hours long.
I like her hair.
Right? I like her hair. But here's the thing, and this is the first discipline, actually, that I would love for you to grasp. I have a choice in this moment. The discipline is make the choice. All right, now, we may know the verse. I'm going to say, all right, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's how I learned it. But that word, sound mind, has been translated self-discipline or self-control. So there is something in the natural realm, right, in our own ability, we can make a choice. All right, now, we make wrong choices all the time, right? But do we, what do? We stay there? All right, so this is what I want to share with you. The thing that started to pull me out of the mess, all right, was, wait a minute, I have a choice. What am I going to partner? Am I going to partner the crazy thoughts that I keep circling in my head, or am I going to partner the Word of God? Now, I could find it in praise and worship, because especially on a good song, a song that I recognize that those words really mean something, right? I'm really more word-oriented, right? Instead of the musicality of it. The words mean a lot. With praise and worship, that would be the decision. I'm going to focus on what the words are saying, right? Now, when we get to making a decision, that's when we run into trouble. Well, then what am I partnering with? So this is where the self-discipline of, or the spiritual discipline of meditation can come in. Now, what we mean, what Christians mean by meditation, right, is not clearing your mind, but it's filling your mind with truth. Okay? So the truth being the Word of God. Now, this is what's hard for some of us, right? Now, if any of you have little kids, and they're learning their memory verse, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got it. And they've got memory verse after memory verse after memory verse in their head, right? Well, for me, it takes a whole lot more.
Yeah.
But that becomes my immediate weapon. That's what I start to use. If I can have that verse, the truth that's going to help me think the right thing, and also put my faith in God to meet me at that point, then I get the supernatural backup, right?
Okay.
So meditation could be picking a verse, right? Or it could be even a partial verse. Here's the thing, the power of the Word of God is amazing, but it's the thing that's going to help you. It's the sword of the Spirit, right? The Word of God is literally the sword of the Spirit. It's going to fight. You're going to use it, your weapon, to fight the enemy. All right? Now, oh, goodness, I am all over the place. We're talking about the sword of the spirit, so that just reminded me of something very important that I wanted to remind you all of. We have backup. We're not alone in this. Okay, the most important thing is to know that the Holy Spirit is your helper, all right? Find me this verse, hold on. All right, John 14, 16 and 17. And whoever got it first can read it. Anybody got it? Yeah, okay, Tiana Lau.
You said John 14, 16 and 17?
Uh-huh.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.
Okay, and also 26 and 28.
26 through or 26 and 8?
Through.
But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
Okay. Jesus himself, right? Jesus himself sent his Spirit here to help us. This is the one thing that for those of us that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm saying that because brothers and sisters in the faith of Jesus as Lord and Savior, some don't believe that. Okay? So this is something that you have got to get a hold of. It's the truth that if loneliness is a battle, if you feel like you can't do it and you say the verse, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, you have an understanding that there is a presence with you that is all powerful. So that even in the seeking of a spiritual routine, right, it's his desire, right, that you have one. He's the one that wants us to understand these things. So you, every time you ask, he's going to be there to help you. Okay, so you can know Jesus himself said so. It's not even something we figured out. It's just right there. Okay, so I'm going to then go to prayer. All right, so we've talked about meditation. Oh, man. Okay, meditation, Joshua 1:8. That's a good one. Does anybody know that one?
Is that the be strong and courageous one?
Almost.
No, that's Joshua 1:9.
Yeah, it's right before that. Meditate on. You got it, Stephanie?
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Make your way prosperous and have success. So even if you're trying to figure out how can I create a spiritual routine, your Holy Spirit is going to help you have success when you meditate on the word. Okay, so meditate means mull it over, right? Ingest it, get it in you, so that you really understand what it's all about. Now, I personally have read some verses going, and that's when I'm going to call somebody and go, okay, I really don't get this. It doesn't make sense. How does that apply here now? All right, and it might make some sense, or I might have to do some more digging. But the thing is, it has a guarantee. It has the word of meditating on God. God's word has a guarantee. All right? And then just if you'd like to write another verse that goes with that would be Psalms 19, verse 14, and Psalms 1, verse 2. All about meditating.
Say that again.
Okay. Psalms 19, verse 14, and Psalms 1, verse 2. Okay. I know she gave me a 5 minute.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, she gave me a 5 minute. Okay, so then we have prayer. All right, so now here's the thing. We all know that everybody wants to make prayer simple, so they say have a conversation with God, right? Just talk to him. Just tell him. Then I ended up complaining and crying and begging and just like, just poor, poor, pitiful me. That was my prayers. So now, yeah, I had this conversation with my husband, and Gary's quick to go, well, he taught us how to pray. You say, you're our Father, right? But, and that's truth, right? So those, just so that you, if you're wondering, in Matthew 6, that's where he, and Luke 11, right? He teaches us the Our Father. But do you understand what that means? When you say, Our Father who is in heaven, that is the majestic, almighty, all-powerful. You could stay right there and really think about that and be on your face in a minute and find the real of talking to God. Right? Okay, what about when you're talking about and forgive us our sins as we forgive others? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can stay there a really long time.
Yeah, like you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, but here's the other thing that I've discovered in our years, in my years here at Jubilee. You know, we've taught a lot, we've learned a lot about inner healing. And so much pain comes from not forgiving and bad choices and bad directions in life because we're not willing to face the things we've not forgiven. Just face the reality of them. My biggest, most amazing testimony was the day that I realized who God the Father was, that he was a real father to me. But that didn't come up until I was able to stop throwing the blanket of forgiveness over my dad. Yeah, I forgive my dad. It wasn't until I faced the pain he caused and forgave him for each life he messed up and each problem or each thing in my life that was set against me before I could even make my own decision. But I had to face the reality of those things to make forgiveness real. So I'm talking about real in these disciplines, right? Real in the prayer. So when you're praying, remember that there's your real life attached to that prayer. And a real God that you've thanked for something that, if you spend a little time thinking about, is really amazing. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh yeah, I pray to God all the time. But they've never received him as Lord and Savior. And they don't really know, you know, there's a God out there, so I pray to him all the time. There's no real there. How do you know who you're praying to? How do you know there's power behind that? All right, well, we know. And we don't take it for granted. That's the real behind the discipline. You don't take it for granted. Okay, fasting. Eek. Okay, so now fasting can be a trophy. Yay, I made it through. Right? Which I don't think is the real way. Or I can't fast because of all the other reasons. All right. Well, the fasting is not a commandment. It is just something that has, for some reason, always been. You can go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible and find fasting. It's always been. Okay? And Jesus said, when you fast. Okay? And that's in Matthew 6, if you want to make sure. And then in Matthew, I think it's 14. Matthew 14, and where Jesus is tempted. In the world, I forget. I'm sorry. I wrote Matthew 4, but I don't think that's it. Oh, wait. Yes, it is. Sorry. Matthew 4. That's when Jesus fasted 40 days. Now, fasting for Jesus meant water only. He didn't eat for 40 days. Joe Miller taught about fasting after he fasted 40 days. So the people do it. Okay, so why do we fast? Okay.
Your soul, like, makes you stronger.
The benefits of fasting is connected to the reason why. Okay? So we're fasting, like you said, to not feed the flesh, but to feed the spirit. And you're saying, okay, you know what, Cud? I'm just you. You're my nourishment. I don't need food. Right? It's also known that fasting, Jesus said, by prayer and fasting, only by that are our bondage demons cast out. Right? So there's some power in praying with fasting. Okay? But that...
Remember Joe used to say, when you fast and pray, that gave your prayers...
It was a fuel injection to your prayers. And there's truth there. There's truth there. So you're fasting, and it's hard. I'll tell you, when I fast, I can get so distracted or totally just be thinking about food the whole time. I mean, so it is a battle. It's a battle of the flesh, but that's why it's called a discipline. It's something you're training. You're training into you and out of you the things that can get in the way. Right? Okay, the last one is serving. And in John 13, verses 14 through 15, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. So serving. Now I have to tell you, I was so thankful when we first had our food feed the one, that I could get out of my house and do something for someone, right? So that brought life back to me. That helped me a lot, all right? So serving and making it a habit, making it a routine of serving. Now, if you don't know what to do, obviously the best and easy place to serve is in the church, right? We create all kinds of opportunities. This is the training ground. But I want to remind you, you train here so you can serve out. Okay, outside of the four walls. Okay, so the serving is something that Jesus himself modeled and tells us to do. All right, now these are disciplines that I found I did a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. Okay, now how do you make it a routine? When you start, when your knee-jerk reaction is those things more often, and more often, and more often. But if they're not your reaction, then you have to make it the point to do. All right? You have to say, I am going to be intentional to find a way to serve. I'm going to be intentional about realizing if I'm going to pray, wow, I probably should praise and worship before because I entered. Right? I come into his presence with thanksgiving. He's going to meet me there when I praise and worship him. Then I know I'm making my way and my prayers are going to be that face-to-face experience. Right? That I'm not just going to complain, but I'm going to remember that what the word says about my problems and say, God, you know what? You said this, so I'm going to stir up my faith. You know my problem. I'm going to stir up my faith with your word. So I'm going to leave you with one thing that I know becomes a problem for a lot of people. It was for me, especially, you know, when you have kids and you got to get up and get everybody out to school and all this other stuff, right? Where did I put it? Right here. Okay, so somebody look up Psalms 5, verse 3, and somebody look up Psalms 92, verse 2. These are places where the morning is set aside for him. The first thing in the morning. Now, who's got one? Okay, Tiana, which one do you have?
92.
Okay, go ahead.
You said in 2?
Yeah, verse 2.
Proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
So even if that was one verse you decided to meditate on, don't you think in the morning, the very first thing you're going to start to think of is, I'm just going to praise you, God. Right? And at night, if you're meditating on it, you're going to be, oh, God, I'm thinking about your love for me today. You know, the day came and went, and I don't know that I thought about you, but I went to sleep being so thankful. Or, God, I'm not going to let this problem weigh on my head. I'm going to give it to you because I know you got this. Right? Those of us that circled everything that happened in the day or what's going to happen the next day, right? Wouldn't it be better to think about that word? All right, who's got Psalm 5?
It says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up.
I made Nina laugh on my way over here because years ago, okay, when Jessica, okay, you know my daughter Jessica, she was literally a baby, and I bought a cassette tape that I would listen to in my car, and there was a song that was that song, and I can still, and I forgot. But I, even now, I'll hum it. Oh, Lord, in the morning, will I direct my prayer? I mean, it's a real old-fashioned kind of song. But it would get me to be thinking, God, yeah, you're the one I'm looking to first thing in the morning. All right, so I want to encourage you that it doesn't have to be an intense, crazy routine. Check. Okay, now I wrote in my journal. Check. Now I did this. Check. No, it's not about that. It's about knowing what some of those disciplines are that the Lord himself has asked of us, but then putting ourselves in the right position and making it real. So if that one little, God, I just want to say thank you today, or Lord, there's no way I'm going to make it through the day without you, Holy Spirit. If it's real, and that starts becoming the habit, that becomes the routine, all right, then... Right? Then you can go back and say, okay, God, am I doing it well? How could I do it better? How can I get closer? You've shown me what to do. Right? Then it's that routine you perfect. Not to perfect, but to get closer. Now, the beauty of this, when I was like, well, you know, we tell people to do all these things, but what's the benefits of it? Why? The benefits are the fruits of the Spirit. You know, you never remember all of them. Okay, anybody remember the song?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness,
and self-control. Okay, thank you. Good job. If you have kids, you got to memorize that, right? Okay. But what happens is, as you're spending time, it flows out. Those things start to be the reaction to the situations every day. All right, why? Because the Holy Spirit has brought you to that place where it's in you, and that's the fruit that grows. Yes, we're done. Okay. Well, I hope it was helpful, everybody. Thank you very much.
Very good.